You're listening to Date with Kate, where I sit down with creatives, trailblazers, healers, and rule breakers to see what makes them tick, to extract their wisdom, and to share with you their stories. And it's my intention that after listening to this conversation, you feel more expanded, excited, and inspired to go out and live your best life, whatever that means for you. So sit back and relax as we dive in deep. And hey, thanks for listening. I am so happy you're here. Hi guys, and welcome to this episode of Date with Kate. Today, I've got such a special guest. Claire Boyd is a phenomenal yoga teacher. She's a very, very passionate foodie. She's a health blogger and a huge wellness advocate. And it is so exciting to have you here with me, Claire.
Thanks for having me.
The other thing is that Claire is my baby sister.
Yes, I am.
So it's very, very special for me to be having this conversation with you. And we're sitting here in Bali. It's a really hot, rainy, tropical day. So you can probably hear the rain in the background. And what I want to dive in today with you, Claire, is something that, you know, a really potent, powerful experience that you've had.
Yeah.
But before we kind of get into the nuts and bolts of that, give us a little lowdown of where you are in your life at the moment and what you're doing and what you've been up to.
Okay, so I'm living in Bali at the moment, working at an amazing detox fasting retreat called Natural Instinct Healing.
I've heard that place is phenomenal.
It is.
I mean, it's the creme de la creme.
Right? It is the creme de la creme. So hosting there, I'm guiding people through a 10-day transformational fasting detox, also teaching yoga. And blogging as well. So I've launched my website, nomoreasparagus.com.
Awesome.
Which is a health and wellness website. And also doing some private one-on-one sessions online and within the retreat as well.
Awesome. So you're like in the thick of this really kind of transformational journey, and now you're really starting to share your gifts. Because you've been on this journey for a while now.
Yeah.
And you've done, you know,
a long time.
A long time. And I mean, you've done so much inner work and self-growth and your curiosity in that spiritual side of you and how your mind operates and how your body operates. I've just seen you like dive deeper and deeper and deeper, and you're kind of coming out the other end now with something really potent to share. And, you know, your yoga classes, Claire Bear, are just amazing. I've studied yoga for, you know, 2 decades and been with teachers all over the world, but your ability to allow and create that space to really drop in and go deep, it's phenomenal.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. And so, you know, I want to go back to that really pivotal turning point in your life that led you on this path of self-discovery and wellness. What happened?
Yeah. Okay. So I was 18. Mm-hmm. I was in Bali, surprisingly enough.
Yeah.
And I fell off a balcony, a double-story balcony. I broke my nose, fractured my skull, cheekbone, did some injuries to my neck and back, pretty much smashed my face in.
Oh.
Which was quite traumatic.
So how, let's go back to that night. Like, walk me through what you can remember from that incident.
So I was out, I went to Bali with a few of my girlfriends and we went out for the night. It was early. So we're at a bar having a few drinks, and that's where my memory stops for the night. I don't remember falling off the balcony or anything. I just remember waking up in hospital and the nurse saying to me, she's gonna need extensive plastic surgery. Oh my God, oh my God. And there was like 10 Balinese nurses all above me, like chaotic. And then, I just kind of had no idea where I was. And that was sort of just a, I don't remember that whole thing. I just remember that little segment as I woke up then.
So you went out for drinks with some of your friends and you wake up in the hospital surrounded by people looking down on you, looking at your face, telling you you need plastic surgery.
Yes. And holy, I was hooked up to smokes. All these like things. I had a neck brace on. I was just like, oh my God, what is going on?
Wow.
It was really, it was chaotic.
What can you remember from that time when you first opened your eyes and saw that scene? Like, what can you remember from that experience?
Just firstly, confusion, because it took me a while to like realize where I even was. Like, I was so out of it that I had no idea. And then the fear took over. Because I could see my friends, two of my friends were at the hospital and their faces were like nothing I've ever seen before. They were like in shock and white. And
they were in the room with you?
Yeah, so I wasn't actually in a room yet. I was just like in the common area because they had to call my parents to get money before they would run any tests or anything. So they wouldn't even put me in a room before they got money.
So you were sitting on a seat in a hallway?
I was in a bed and I was...
Like a stretcher?
Like a stretcher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just in like the common area.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and you looked over and saw your friends and you saw their faces.
Yeah, I seen their faces and I was like, oh my God, what is going on? Like, and I still didn't really know because I wasn't in pain.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't in pain, but I just was kind of like, what is going on? Yeah, I was just so confused and dazed.
Wow.
Mm.
And then what happened next?
So... I don't remember anything else from that night. And then I just remember waking up the next morning and that's when the pain started to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in so much pain and I was just my whole body felt so heavy and I couldn't move anything. And this time I was in my own room. Like, it was actually really, really nice. I had like my own room. It was so clean. And like my nurses would call me Claire Marie, Miss Claire Marie. But I still wasn't really sure what had happened. And like I knew that I fell, but I didn't really know how or anything. And then when my friends would visit me, they'd visit me one by one and they would just come in and start bawling their eyes out. And I still hadn't looked at myself in the mirror. And I was just like, oh my God, what is going on? And I couldn't even like hug him or anything because I was so stiff and in a neck brace and stuff.
Where were you feeling the pain? Like, where was that intense pain coming from?
All my upper body.
Mm-hmm.
So like my head, just like huge headache and like, I don't know, I can't even explain the pain. It was just like my whole head had like expanded and it was like trying to burst out of its skin.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I had like all my aunties and uncles calling me as well, like, you know, wishing me luck and everything. And I still hadn't looked at myself in the mirror and I was just like, this is so confusing, like, because I was doped up on all these painkillers as well. So
were you coherent at this stage? Like, had any of your friends filled you in on what had actually happened? Were you curious? What was going on in the mind?
Yeah, so none of my friends were actually there when it happened. They were so it ended up happening at one of our friends' villas. Oh, it wasn't a villa, it was more like a hostel.
Mm-hmm.
But I was by myself at the time, so none of my friends actually seen it. They only seen me on the ground afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't too sure how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And still to this day, I don't actually know how exactly it happened.
But just to put this in a little bit of perspective, the fall was like a 6-meter drop.
Yeah.
And you landed on a rock.
On a rock.
You smashed
on my face.
Your whole face.
Yeah.
On a rock.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Like, me reliving this memory as your sister, I just want to burst into tears, because when I got the news, I was just like completely floored.
Yeah.
It was so scary.
Yeah.
And so you're still in the hospital. Everyone's crying. The nurses are coming in and out. And I mean, I've been in a Balinese hospital before as well. And it's just different, isn't it? It's like another world, you know. All the nurses are wearing like little outfits that look like they're from the 1950s.
Yeah.
And And so tell us what happened.
So
you still hadn't looked at yourself in the mirror.
I still hadn't looked at myself, and I was, because my friends were so upset, so I was almost trying to be strong for them, because I didn't want them to feel bad or anything.
Yeah.
So I wasn't that emotional, I don't think. I was a little bit, but I was keeping it together pretty well. And once my friends had left, I asked the nurse to take me to the toilet because I wanted to see what I look like. And I didn't want my friends to see my reaction, because I was freaking out. Because I was like, if they come in and like give one look and start bawling, I'm like, what do I look like? Wow. And I could feel that my whole face was swollen. But yeah, but I couldn't, it was so numb to touch that it was hard to tell. So anyway, I went into the bathroom with the nurse and I looked at myself and I just fell to the floor and started bawling my eyes out. I was like a monster.
Wow.
Like you couldn't even tell what I looked like.
Wow.
Like before.
What can
the
you
accident.
Remember the most?
So my nose was like out to the sides of my cheek and my top lip was, oh, you couldn't see my bottom lip at all. My top lip was like over my bottom lip. My eyes were black, like so black. I had a huge cut underneath my nose. I had all this like dry blood around my mouth. And yeah, it was just like so smashed in. And yeah, that's when I broke down. Yeah.
And what can you remember, like, when you saw that reflection looking back at you, can you remember what that instant reaction was? Like, was it one of shock?
Yeah, definitely shock. I didn't expect to look that bad. Like, I thought you'd still be able to see what I looked like, but I literally looked like a monster, like a cartoon character or something. And that's when I was just like, oh my God, and all this like fear kicked in and I just, lost it.
Yeah. And how was the nurse? How was she?
She like didn't have any idea what was going on at the start, because I don't think she realised I hadn't seen myself. And then I just dropped to the floor and she's like, oh my God, Miss Claire, are you okay? And she started freaking out and she got another nurse and and so there was three nurses in there at the end, and I was just like on the ground like bawling my eyes out, like couldn't get up, and I don't think they even really knew why.
Was that the moment when reality kind of hit in?
Yeah, completely, because it was like I was up in the clouds before that, and then as soon as I looked at myself in the mirror, I was just like, holy shit, like this is hectic.
Yeah,
it was intense. That I can remember that looking in the mirror so clearly in my head still.
Really?
Like, it's very vivid.
It's a strong imprint.
Yeah, definitely.
And then what happened after that?
So I had to stay in hospital for a couple. We were meant to fly out the next day. So I had to stay in we were meant to fly out 2 days later, yeah. So I had to stay in hospital for a couple of days before they would let me fly, just so I didn't get any blood clots and stuff. And my dad flew over. So my dad came in. Probably the next day. My mum wanted to, but she actually didn't have a valid passport. So which was pretty traumatic for her, I think.
Yeah. I remember I was up in North Queensland in Australia at the time. And when I got the news, I just started panicking straight away because I knew how serious it was. Like, I could feel what you were going through because I'm so empathic and because we're sisters, you know. It's just like when something horrific happens to those people we're really close to, it's a full body experience. And I remember getting on the phone to mum, and she was just hysterical, as you would be. And just, of course, she wanted to be with her little baby straight away. And, and we couldn't get her a passport quick enough. So I flew down to where mum was, and I remember we drove dad to the airport. And our dad, he's such a... like strong, brave strong. Guy and doesn't really show that much emotion. But that day that he had to go and pick you up, I remember his hands were just shaking uncontrollably and his face was just grey. And I couldn't even talk to him because we didn't know the extent of the damage at that time. So the doctor was calling us back in Australia and saying it's possibly brain damage. She might have had a stroke. We don't know if she's going to walk again. And all the, you know, worst case scenarios, which they have to prepare you for. So he had no idea what he was walking into. And, that was crazy. Like, I can remember that so clearly as well.
Definitely. And then when he, I remember him coming in pretty vivid as well. He had the same reaction to all my other friends, just like looked at me and then like ran towards me and gave me a hug and started bawling his eyes out. And I don't even think I'd ever seen dad cry before that. And that, and I lost it then as well. I was like, oh my God, daddy, help me.
Oh my God, we can laugh about it now, but it was not funny at the time. But how did you feel, like, you know, having him come and...
Yeah, once I had him there, I felt a lot better. Because my friends, they were like so supportive and everything, but they didn't really know... because we were like, I was just 18, like we were just out of school, so we were so young. But like, and they were amazing, but to have that support of like your dad is like, you just need them there. Which, so yeah, when he came, it was good, and he just like organized everything. Like, he kind of just knew what to do, got all like the meds I needed, got me signed up at a hospital.
Yeah, because they weren't going to let you fly for a long time because they didn't know whether the brain had been damaged or, you know, how much that, because there was a lot of swelling. There was a lot.
So, yeah, they weren't going to let me fly. But I'd been fine for like a few days without any like complications or anything. So dad kind of had a talk with them. And I was fine as well, so they signed off. And they're just like, get to the doctor straight away when you go home.
And what was that plane trip like?
Oh, horrendous.
So the flight home's, it's about 6 hours.
Yeah, 6 hours.
To Brisbane.
Well, to start with, like, in the airport, everybody was just staring at me because I was just... like, it looked crazy. And I'd lost a fair bit of weight as well, so I was so like, I was quite skinny, and but my face was so massive, so I really stood out, and I was trying to like put my head down and hide my face because I was so embarrassed the whole time. And it was when the Bali airport was really, really small. Like, now it's quite big, but it was really small before, so everyone was just like, and then to get through, you know, when you go through customs and you can't have water. So they wouldn't let us take a water bottle in, and we still had like, I don't know, 45 minutes to wait, and we were waiting till the very end so I could take all my painkillers. So then I'd be fine for the flight. So they wouldn't let us take water in. So we were like sitting on the ground, and Dad was trying to get like all the different like meds that I had to take, and he's like shaking, like, okay, they're fine.
Wow.
Just sitting on the floor of the Balinese airport.
Yeah. It wasn't the cleanest airport in the world either.
No, it wasn't. It was quite dirty then. And then so we got on the flight, and it was pretty a traumatic flight actually, because they wouldn't give me any ice. They said that they were saving their ice for business class people.
Wow.
Which like infuriated my dad, and the guy next to him was like an ex-pilot or something as well, so there was like this big blow up. And I was just sitting there like, oh God, no, don't bring any attention to me.
The other guy was trying to get you ice.
He was trying to get me ice because he was like, this is ridiculous, like, which it was.
Yeah.
Like they could clearly say, because when I walked in, he was like, are you cleared for flying? And I was like, yeah. And then when we asked for ice, they were like, no.
Wow.
I know, how ridiculous is that?
And then I remember picking you up at the other end in Brisbane Airport.
Yeah.
And Mum and I were there, and we got there so early because she was so anxious to see you. And I remember we had our arms like linked, and I was kind of holding her, and she was holding my bicep, and her nails were like digging into me. And I kind of, I was like, it's all right, Mum, it's all right. And she was like digging so hard. I'm like, Mum, you're like hurting me. Let it go. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
Oh,
and
gosh.
When we saw you, I remember when you walked through those doors and we saw you, and I was just felt my stomach go up into my throat, and I was really just like, don't react, Kate, don't react, don't react, and doing all this self-talk in my head to try and stay calm, because I knew Mum was just gonna lose it.
Yeah.
Which she did.
Yeah. Yeah, I was really nervous walking out there as well. Because I kind of just, it was, being around so many people was just too much for me. Like I was really embarrassed. And I just did not want to be around people, so I was just trying to get out of there as quick as possible. And I remember when I was coming out, I think I had my hand over my face as
well. Yeah, you had your boarding pass over your face, I remember.
Yeah.
And in the airport as well, it's so intense. It's like noise and big fluoro lights and people are rushing everywhere. Like it's an intensive environment anyway, let alone when you've had a massive trauma.
Yeah, it was very overwhelming. Yeah.
And then so from the airport, we went straight to the facial reconstructive surgeon in Brisbane.
Yeah.
And I remember all the scans and brain scans and MRIs and different kinds of tests that they've done in Bali, and we had them all there. And I remember he put the like X-ray kind of thing, I'm not sure what it's called, up of the skull.
Yeah.
And he put it up on the board. And when I saw that and saw like the massive fracture in the skull, that's when I lost it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That for me was the hardest visual to see. When you see someone's skull and then you just see a massive like fracture in it.
Yeah.
And it went like the top of the forehead and then down through the eye socket, and then the cheek was just all smashed.
Yeah.
And the nose.
Yeah, the X-rays are pretty heavy, because I don't have one single photo. Because
you were really like,
I was like, no, like no one took a photo of me. I felt like really embarrassed. Like I didn't want to remember.
Yeah.
I just wanted to put it away.
Yeah.
Which is probably the worst part in grieving. That's what I did.
Yeah. Well, it's a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
And then that surgeon said, you know, it's not the good.
Yeah. He was like, you're definitely going to have to come back. we can't do anything now because we need to wait till the swelling goes down. But he said that I was going to have surgery and on this and that. And
yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot of surgeries.
Yeah.
Basically, like, reconstruct the whole nose.
Yeah.
And the cheekbone.
Mm.
And there was lots of cuts around the lips.
Yeah, around my... I've still got some scars underneath my nose. But, yeah, I cut all the top of my lip open.
Yeah.
Which I should have probably had stitches, but I didn't. And, so he said all this, which was... Even then, like... Everything was sort of just like going over my head. It was just so overwhelming to take in.
Mm.
Like, because it was all just like bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
So much happened. And I was on all these painkillers as well. So I was just like, ooh.
Yeah, you were pretty drugged out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happened next?
So then we went home. You were there.
Yeah.
Looking after me. Helping me a lot, pretty much saved my life.
I don't know about that. But.
I spent like the whole week pretty much in my bedroom, I think.
Mm.
I was so out of it. I was sleeping a lot. You would come in and like give me herbs and rub like arnica and all different oils on my face and give me all these vitamins.
I was making you up all these tonics and herbal elixirs and basically anything that is to do with tissue repair. I was like shoving it in your throat with a straw and putting, lots of creams and ointments and doing a lot of healing. I remember like sneakily putting all these crystals like in the bed and like around the pillow. And it was pretty intense. The behind the scenes, when Claire came home, all of us, our whole family just really rallied and we all kind of got jobs.
Yeah.
And I was like the token healer, I guess. And our mum, who is a nurse, she was the nurse. So she was like bathing you and making sure you've had enough fluid and dishing out the pain medication. And our brothers were like coming around and
dropping. It's not that bad. It's fine.
Yeah.
Trying to make me feel bad.
Yeah, I remember they were in the room going, it's not that bad, don't worry about it. And then they'd walk out and go, fuck. But we were like meditating a lot, weren't we?
Yeah.
And praying and doing lots of angel cards. And I remember just having like really soft kind of chilled music in your room and keeping the room dark and just creating this like healing cave for you to
definitely
just to rest
and I restore. Really did go in a cave.
Mm.
Like I don't think I really came out at all.
No,
much.
No,
I was quite vulnerable and felt quite helpless. I wouldn't even let my friends come round and see me.
No. And that was Dad's job. He was the gatekeeper. He was the security guard.
Yeah.
People were dropping off things and he's like, no, you can't go in there. Leave it on the table. Goodbye. Good old Dad.
Oh, God.
And I remember, you know, you couldn't talk about anything.
No.
Because I remember trying to ask you a couple of times, just like, what can you remember from that night, and you just would just shut down.
Yeah, I think that's just the way that I coped with it. I just couldn't handle what had happened.
Mm.
And I felt really just embarrassed because we were there with like a few friends and then like some other, like there was a fair few people in Bali. And I just felt like so embarrassed that happened and like how it happened and so I just I did not want to relive it or talk about it. I just wanted it to be over and to move on.
And I remember like talking to your friends, the beautiful girls who you're still super close with now. You know, I remember ringing them and going, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
You know, the big sister going, right, let me get to the bottom of this. And they were going through, you know, really full-on trauma as well.
Yeah.
Because they saw you smashed in that rock pool with blood everywhere.
Yeah.
That's the image that they had. So they didn't actually see you fall, but no. They kind of saw right after it had happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, my two close girlfriends, yeah, seen that it happened. And, yeah, they were just in shock, I think, as well.
For a long time.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
And... but no one would really ask me. Like, I think you're the only one that really asked me because everyone sort of knew that I didn't want to talk.
It was off limits.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm in there. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Wow. And so I can't remember the time either because I remember just being by your bed pretty much 24/7. I remember one night... and this was before I had kids or, you know, it was 10 years ago nearly.
Yeah, 8 years ago.
Yeah, and so I was curled up, like, sleeping at the bed and Mum, like, came up and woke me and she's like, you've got to leave. And I physically, like, couldn't leave your body.
Yeah,
like, I was,
really?
I just had to be close to you at all times.
Yeah.
And so then Mum and I were doing shifts.
Yeah.
Really. We took time off work and... yeah, we're just staying with you because we still didn't know the extent of the injuries at that time.
Yeah.
So we
had to be monitored.
Yeah. And we were watching your speech and making sure you weren't slurring words and making sure there was no blood in the urine. And like there was so much going on that we had to look out for. So I felt like even if I left you for 5 minutes, I was like, oh my God, what happened when I was gone?
Yeah.
Yeah. But some really deep healing.
Yeah.
And I feel definitely. Like, what do you feel opened up for you in terms of your own healing processes when you're in that cave?
I healed quite quickly. Just because it was like, I had so much support, especially from you and like the whole family and everything. And to be honest, at the time, I don't think I really realized what was even happening because I was so out of it and I wasn't really into like spiritual healing or anything at that stage. Like I didn't even really know what the hell you were doing.
Like, here comes my crazy
here
sister
comes
again.
My hippie sister. But I was just
you're still
I was,
saying that.
Yeah. But I was open to it all. Like I was just like, give me anything you got, like just heal me. Like I just want to be better. So I think that's when I really I guess started to become opened with that kind of healing.
Yeah.
And then when we went back to the plastic surgeon. Like a couple of weeks later, I think, when all my healing had gone down and like my face was so messed up and it healed so quickly.
It was like, amazing.
Yeah.
It was just like
in 2 weeks.
I know. There's part of me that wishes we had photographed it and documented it.
Now I wish that I had photos so bad.
Because it was really a miracle.
It was. Yeah. And the plastic surgeon like looked at me and he gave me that same like shocked look that I was getting from everyone at the hospital. And he was just like, what have you done? Like, and he couldn't believe it. And I don't think you were there. It was only me and Mum.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, oh my God, like, what have you done? I can't believe how much you've healed. Like, and just went on and on and on. And then I was like, my sister, she healed me. She was putting all this stuff on my face.
It was the cream.
It was the cream. Santa Annika. Yeah, so he couldn't believe it. And he was like, you've healed yourself. Like, and I was kind of a little bit in shock then as well because I was like, what, really? Like,
I know.
I did what? And then, like, I've still got a bump in my nose and, like, scarring underneath my nose. And he was like, we can you know, fix that if you want, or that can just be like a part of you now. And I was just like, nah, I don't want anything. Like, I just want it to be over, because I was still like in that mindset where I just wanted to get over it.
So you went from having to probably have some really intensive reconstructive surgery to 2 weeks later going back to him and he's like, you don't need to have anything done.
Yeah.
Which is pretty insane.
It's insane. It's hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. And, you know, even though I was with you and I witnessed it and I saw the whole thing, it's still like when I look at the scans from Bali and then the scans he took a couple of weeks later, it's just incredible.
It's crazy.
That bone, that skull, those fractures, all those smashed bones that just looked like all fragments, that it was just all almost normal again.
Yeah.
Like, it still gives me goosebumps that you went through that.
I know. It's, it's pretty unbelievable, I think.
Yeah.
And I just still can't even really explain it.
Mm.
Like, it was just, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And then, and then after that, I was just like, what is this, like, healing natural products? What are those ointments you're putting on me?
Yeah. It definitely opened up this big curiosity into that kind of, you know, complementary medicine, alternative healing world for you.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, definitely.
What do you think was the biggest kind of breakthrough from that experience? Like, where you really were like, right, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get through it. When do you think that came?
I don't think it really, well, I guess after I went to the doctor, or the surgeon, sorry, the plastic surgeon, that's when I was kind of like, okay, I've got this. This is going to be okay. Like, I can handle this. But still, like, at that time, like, I still just put everything behind me. Like, I didn't really grieve at all. But I knew that I was going to be okay, and that's, like, all that I needed. I just needed that confirmation that I was going to be okay, and then I was.
Yeah. Why do you think you needed that confirmation?
I don't know. I guess I was just so vulnerable, and, like, I always got confirmation from you guys, but you guys are my family.
Yeah.
And so...
And everyone knows you don't listen to your family.
And everybody knows that families lie. And they don't tell you the truth. And, like, I really felt that, like, I could feel that you guys were, like, protecting me, obviously, but hiding so much from me as well.
Yeah.
And then, so to get that from him was just... And because I didn't see any... I didn't even really talk to my friends while I was in that state. So, like, I had nothing else to go on. So, and I had no idea really what was going on in my body at the time. I was just so frazzled. And
you were so young.
I was so young.
Straight out of high school.
Yeah. So, like, oblivious and just, felt very vulnerable. And so to hear that from, like, a surgeon was just something that I, really needed, to hear it from someone that I didn't know. And just to get that confirmation that I was going to be okay.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a quick intermission, multiple choice, quick fire question round.
Okay.
Juices or smoothies?
Juices.
Sunset or sunrise?
Sunset.
Sunset?
Yep.
Okay. Kindle or paperback?
Paperback.
Yeah, me too. And what's been a book that has changed your life?
So this one is for the ladies. It's called The Wild Genie.
Alexander Pope.
Yes. Because in the last few recent years, I had a lot of menstrual trouble. And getting her book, which I think you recommended it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was like a game changer.
Yeah.
Because it just completely transforms the way you think about your menstrual cycle and how you can use the wild genie to fruition into your potential and
yeah, it's a good
and
one.
Use it.
The Wild Genie by Alexander Pope.
Yeah, it's really good.
So you went through that huge kind of shake up, wake up, trauma. You know, you were really so lucky with the outcome and
so
the potential lucky healing capacity and what you went through really changed the whole kind of trajectory of your life.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I feel like for a couple of years there, because I didn't really start to grieve for maybe like 2 years later, I don't think, where I was actually like, okay, now it's time.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I went on a different journey. I guess I went overseas and went traveling and just had new experiences because I was almost scared to go overseas again as well. Like I was really in my like little shell for a couple of years.
And the trauma stays in the subtle energy bodies until we're really ready to heal it.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't just come out when you don't have the capacity or the support or the depth to actually go there.
Yeah.
And the body is just so fascinating in that way, how it will contain the trauma and hold it and almost encapsulate it on a cellular level until there's something that comes in and gives the green light, and then it comes out and it's like, all right, I'm ready to release this now. And that did take a couple of years.
Yeah, maybe even more. And like the whole process until I was like fully over it, I think has been recently.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Which is 8 years later, because we could never have had this conversation even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It was still kind of off limits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't really talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how's it shaped you now? Like now you're living in Bali where the accident actually happened.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, crazy in itself.
No, it's really funny.
You're working with people that have had traumas, that have, you know, had difficulties with their physicality, that have been through lots of emotional stuff. Like, how do you feel that experience is shaping you as a practitioner now?
Yeah, I think it's definitely shaped who I am and what I do. Because I just want to help people sort of in the same, whether it was like a trauma or just emotional or whatever they're going through. That it is going to be okay and that they can get over it. And I'm so into like the natural way, like so into it. And just like little things that you can implement in your daily life and lifestyle that can help you overcome anything you're going through is like amazing. And so many people don't know about it either. Like just tiny little things.
Like give us a few examples.
Like some essential oils to use, or like meditation, or doing yoga, or like even what you eat, like cooking and like nourishing foods. And just as well, like getting out in Mother Nature and journaling and just like all these little things that are so easy to do in anyone's life.
Yeah, exactly. And what would you say are your like non-negotiables that you keep practicing even today to help you stay in that center of balance or alignment? Like, what are your non-negotiables?
Yoga, definitely, especially because I've had I had that huge fall, so my neck and back have never been the same since. So doing yoga is like a necessity for me, and it's helped me so much. And meditation. Yoga and meditation, probably my two biggest things, but also food for me. Like if I eat bad, my mental state is like, I mean, I don't eat completely healthy all the time, but like if I just eat shit food for a week, I'll just feel so shitty and my head will be foggy and, you know, all that stuff that comes with bad food.
Yeah. So I'm exactly the same.
Yeah. I really need to have that clear mind so I can, really process, and especially to help people as well. I feel like you need to be in that clear state so you can help them to your, fullest potential.
I love that. And what would you say to anyone listening who is going through some kind of trauma at the moment, whether it's, you know, actual physical recovery or trauma of something, or whether it's like a deep emotional experience? Because trauma, whether it's physical or emotional, it still kind of plays out similarly in our energetic system. So anyone that's kind of in any pain or suffering, what would you say to them?
I would say just to write it out, that it is going to be okay. It's not always going to be how it is now in your situation. And don't rush it. Don't try and just be better, because you won't. Like, it's a process. So you have to completely be so compassionate with yourself and just nurture your body through whatever it is you're going through, because it is a really long process. And you need to accept that. So you need to just accept the emotions that you're feeling right now and just know that it is going to be okay and that it will get better. Thus too shall pass.
Nice.
Yes.
Drop the mic. Exit stage.
Didn't.
Well, thanks for coming on a date with me.
Thank you.
Where can we find out more about your work?
So www.nomoreasparagus.com.
No More Asparagus. Yes. Interesting name.
Yes, you can find out why I named my website that in my About Me.
Awesome.
Or another date with Kate, maybe.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on a date with me.
No worries. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Date with Kate. It was awesome to have you join us. If you want to find out more about what I've got going on, plus get the show notes from today's episode, then head over to my website, www.katereardon.com.au, and have a beautiful day.